been my custom for the last few years to try and leave you with a text at the beginning of the year that we might take with us, some verse of encouragement. In some ways, our seasons are set in a man-made calendar. We know that some people in different parts of the world, they mark their calendar in a different way. Markers in the year are a part of creation. Scripture encourages us to know our days and our years. And whether at this point or another, it's good at least to mark that another year has passed and gone. Another year of God's goodness, although perhaps we've had ups and downs as families, as individuals, and even as a fellowship. We thank God for his mercies in the past year. Whatever we receive of God is far more than we deserve. And we thank him for his mercy. At our watch night service, we looked at Isaiah 41 and verse 10, which reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And we divided that into seven parts, and some of you have seen the cards that are around that give us a little part of that verse for each day of the year. I want this morning to move on to verse 13, and really that's the verse I want to leave with you. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." That's the verse I want to leave with you. This chapter is set out like proceedings in a law court. The Lord calls the nations together. Verse 1 says, "Let us come near together to judgment." And he has much against them, and he sets that out, and he comes to a conclusion at the end. But in verse 8, he really just has a little bit of a change in the proceedings, and there is a break there where he addresses for a few verses his people Israel. And it's in those few verses that we find our verse 13. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." And the verse seems to very helpfully fall into three parts. First of all, we have, if you like, who God is, the declaration of his name. It's very, very reasoned why that particular name is used there. "For I, the Lord thy God." And we're reminded there that we have the greatest power and person to come with us into the new year. Secondly, we see the sound of his voice saying unto thee, "Fear not, I will help thee." There are times to walk in silence, but here the Lord speaks with us. And then thirdly, we shall see what I've called the touch of his hand. "He will hold thy right hand." I guess really that's more than a touch, isn't it? A touch of his hand. He will hold our right hand. Whatever our situation, if we are the Lord's, we do not walk alone. His hand is in ours. So that's where we're going for a few moments this morning. First of all then, the declaration of who God is. The declaration of his name. He says there at the beginning of the verse, "For I, the Lord, thy God." And our trust as we go into this new year is in the very God of heaven. The fact that people outside rubbish him, don't believe in him, and even those who don't believe in him do believe in him because they begin to tell us how bad he is and how bad we are and all the things we teach our children. We just forget all that for a moment this morning, and we can say the very God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, promises me verse after verse after verse in scripture that he will come with me. And if the world deny him and don't want God with them, then for a moment we have to just let that pass. We will proclaim to them who God is and the demands that he makes of us. But for us, as the Lord's people, our trust is in the very God of heaven. We trust one another, I hope. We do that from time to time when we ask things of one another. And we trust others that we've come to know and love. But they cannot help us. They cannot come with us as the Lord can. The word for God here is the word Elohim. It's the same word as we find in the first verse of the Bible. "In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth." And the names that God uses for himself vary throughout scripture, and they are very significant. Because remember, this isn't Isaiah just saying, "Now what name shall I use for God as I write this in the Hebrew?" This is God himself. God the Holy Spirit guiding Isaiah to use the name Elohim here, because that's what God wants to reveal to us about himself within the context of this passage and this verse. And the name Elohim is rich in meaning, and we could have a whole sermon on that. But let me just bring out three things briefly that particularly belong to this name Elohim, when God uses the name Elohim. And the first thing it is, it's might and strength. When God wants to portray to us his might and his strength, he usually uses the word Elohim. The one who has promised to be with us is the mighty God. And it's one of the names that Isaiah uses later on for the Lord Jesus Christ when he says he will be the everlasting Father and the other names he gives. But he says he will be called the mighty God, which again is underlying the deity of Christ. But here we're saying the God that's going to come with us is the God of power and strength. And really, we, as we go into the year, we can want no more power and strength than we have in God, for he is all power and strength. And when we think of the might and strength, it is often associated in Scripture with God's creating power, and that's why he uses it for the very first time in the very first verse of the Bible, that the first way that God reveals himself, he says, in the beginning, Elohim, the creator God, the all-powerful God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the one who spoke the world into being. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? You know, when we think of evolution and man's other made-up ways of thinking how the world come into being, they have all sorts of complex ways of how something came from nothing and it all went bang and all of these sorts of things. The Bible tells us very clearly God didn't need to get lots of things together and make a big bang. He spoke the word. His word is so powerful as to bring things into being. He didn't need a pile of elements. He didn't need a construction kit to throw these things together. He spoke and the word was done. And that's the God, and that's the way he's revealing himself to us for this coming year. The one who is coming with us speaks the word and the work is done. But also this word Elohim is associated with his covenant relationship. And we know that God had covenant relationships with a number of people. He did with Abraham. And he did with Noah, and of course he did with the nation of Israel, and with us, his people. And this is the one who's coming with us in the coming year. It is the one who makes a covenant, makes a promise, and keeps it. And the covenant he has is a covenant sealed with blood. It was a blood covenant, and all God's covenants there, we see principles of them, where there was a cut and blood was sealed. And that's how it is. And when we think of the covenant of grace, when we think of God coming with us in this year, we can say, yes, on the cross of Calvary, there it was sealed for us in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The promises that God has made to us to save us and to keep us and to take us home to glory is sealed in blood. And we think of that as we gaze upon this table a little later this morning. Confirmed by blood and confirmed in his unchanging word. And the wonderful thing is when we see mercy here, because despite Israel's continued sin, despite their rejection of God's only begotten Son, God had promised, God had covenanted to them, and he would restore them, and he would continue to love them. And Isaiah has much to say about the restoration of Israel. And even today we live in that age when we see Israel being restored. Perhaps in a slow way at the moment, but restored to their land. We see the gospel being proclaimed as never before. We see the desert blossoming as a rose. And when we look at all the other signs around, we see the nearness of the coming of the Lord. And we're reminded of God's covenant relationship with Israel and with his people, the church. And we can say that despite our sin, despite our early rejection, he came to us in grace and he saved us. And even now, I mean, if we're honest, I can only speak for myself. Despite often our coldness and our too frequent sin, he has still promised for Christ's sake to bring us as a redeemed people to glory. That's the one who's coming with us. In the previous chapter, he starts the chapter by saying, comfort ye my people, saith your God. says your Elohim. The God who keeps covenant relationship is able to do that because he is God, and he is the God of might and strength, and he gives comfort to his people. And the third characteristic that we see often falling from the name Elohim is the fact that it's plural, indicating to us the doctrine of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And when we put that together with the covenant relationship, we realise that it is the Trinity that has a covenant relationship with us, but also the Trinity has a covenant relationship with, if I can say, himself. And that's a wonderful thing, because it is within the covenant relationship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to choose a people, to purchase people, to bring a people under the sound of the gospel and save them and bring them to new life. That covenant relationship within the Trinity is that on which we depend, and we can say we have eternal security because of the promises that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have with one another, as well as with us. And so there is an internal looking at covenant, as well as an external expression of that covenant to his people. He is the one that will come with us. I read one or two verses from Psalm 139 that reminds us of the Lord knowing all about us in the coming year. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. That is amazing, isn't it? The Lord knows what I'm going to be thinking about at 12 o'clock. It's amazing. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, thou art there. Even thy hand shall lead me, thy right hand shall hold me. And that comes out later in our verse here. So declaration of his name is Elohim, the Creator God, the covenant-keeping God, the Trinitarian God, is the one who promises here to come with us in the year. Secondly, we have the sound of his voice, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You know, isn't it amazing that God should communicate with us at all? He had no reason to communicate with us. God is God. I've said before that when there was nothing, if we can get our minds to think that, when there was nothing but God, God communicated with himself. There was no one else to communicate with. Why should he then decide to create beings, and beings he knew who would rebel and sin, and then communicate to us? You know, humanity has spent billions of pounds sending listening devices into space, trying to find what they call little green men or whatever, some kind of radio signal that they could get from a far off galaxy that would give them some indication that there might be some indication of some form of life out there somewhere. When God has spoken to us here on earth, it is amazing, isn't it, that we know the sound of his voice. Most of us remember the record label, His Master's Voice. I guess it's been around a good few years. I remember I had an old wind-up gramophone, and on the lid there was the trademark of His Master's Voice, where you've got this dog looking into the horn of a gramophone, because that's where the sound was coming out, and presumably the dog was hearing his master's voice. He recognised his master's voice. And it's a wonderful thing, because the Bible tells us that the Lord's people recognise their master's voice. We hear his voice, the sound of his voice. You know, there are many that hear the voice of God but don't know his voice. One sense, we hear it in the thunder. We hear it in the stillness of the morning. But we need to hear his voice in saving power. One hymn writer says, doesn't it? He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. And that is true. That is true. When the Lord comes to us in saving power, then we begin to hear his voice. Yes, it was there, but now we hear it, we begin to recognise that voice. We begin to read in the Bible things that's for me. It's not just something in the book, because God is speaking to us. We begin to hear his voice in every line. And the Lord said himself concerning his sheep, when they hear my voice, they will follow me. They recognise the shepherd's voice. In this passage Isaiah is speaking to those who are his, to his people. There's a hymn, we could have sung it. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. You know, sometimes people come up with all sorts of nonsense about what the Lord says to them. It's almost as if they preface whatever they're going to say with, "The Lord said this to me, it must be true." But you know, when the Lord speaks to us, he does not speak contrary to his word. His usual way of speaking to us is through his word, by his spirit. That's the way he has promised to speak to us. And there are so many promises and verses in scripture that he uses to do that. Sometimes he has to chastise us. That's the way he speaks to us. When we speak to our children, we speak kindly, we speak lovingly. But there are times when still speaking lovingly, we have to say, "Don't do that." And we have to apply a measure of discipline. But here in this verse, we know what he's saying. He says, "I will help thee." Is that not an encouragement to some of you here this morning? You've got things in the coming year you're a bit concerned about. There are changes in your life, perhaps, or changes that you think are going to come, and you're just uncertain. Well, this verse says here, the Lord says, "I will help thee." You know, it's good when we're in trouble to have friends to help us. But here we have the mighty God promising to help us. And remember, it's he alone that controls the circumstances. And sometimes there are things down the year and we think, "I think this is going to happen and I'm fearful for that." And when we get there, we find it's completely different. The Lord has been there beforehand. He has controlled the situation. And sometimes we try and help one another and we end up giving people more grief. Not on purpose, but that's just the way things go. The Lord never gives us more grief. He may lead us down a path that is difficult. We will have trials and tribulations, we know that. But he has promised to be with us, and he has promised to do everything for his people's good. Know then the sound of his voice, the promises, and the promise particularly here in verse 13, "I will help thee. Fear not, don't be afraid of the future, I will be there." And then thirdly, we have the touch of his hand. He says he will hold thy right hand. You know, when we're small, it's great to put a hand up, as it were, and know a parent will take that hand, and we're safe. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's where we are as children of the living God. John 10 says all that his people are in his hand, and none can pluck us out. We praise God for that security that we have in the hand of God. And what hands they are, we could, and I'm sure I have preached on the hands of Christ, but, you know, they're hands of strength, aren't they? Psalm 37 says, "Though you fall, you shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us with his hand." You will fall. We do fall from time to time. But you will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us. He is still there holding our hand. It doesn't mean we're going to be exempt from trials, but the Lord will be there. And then he has hands of authority. You know, when Thomas gazed on the Saviour's hands, he confessed, didn't he? "My Lord and my God." And when we gaze upon the Saviour's hands and we see there all that he's done for us, and we realise he is our Lord and our God, and we might feel quite small and insignificant compared to the rulers of the world. There's the Queen giving out her honours, or the Prime Minister giving out honours at the New Year, and I'm sure some of those are well deserved. And makes those people more famous, etc. And there are people all around the world who are elevated by the position that they hold. And we might feel quite insignificant. But my friends, we're in the hand of God. And that's the place you want to be. That's the place we need to be. It is there that we'll find protection. It is there we'll find guidance. It is there that we'll be directed by his command. Another passage says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." People in the world who think they're so important and think they're ruling themselves, they don't want this man to reign over them, actually, ultimately, they are in the hand of God, and he will move them as he wants them moved. Such is the hand of the authority of God. But then, of course, as we look at the Saviour's hands, we see wounded hands, nailed to a cross. Why? Because of you and me. Nailed to a cross. One hymn writer says, "Wounded for me, wounded for me. All my transgressions were laid upon him." And of course, they're life-giving hands, aren't they? In Revelations, where John saw the risen Saviour, he fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. The life he gives comes to us because of those hands that did so much good were nailed to a cross. So there's three things this morning so far. The declaration of his name, Elohim, the mighty God, the creator God, the covenant keeping God, is the one that's going to come with us in the coming year. Secondly, the sound of his voice, where he says, fear not, I will help thee. And then the touch of his hand, he will hold our right hand. You know, in many ways, we don't know what the new year holds. It's all in the hand of our mighty God. But it's like lots of things. When we say, well, we don't know this and we don't know that, it's good sometimes to turn it round the other way and say for a moment, okay, we don't know that, but what do we know? What do we know? You know, we know it will be another year nearer home. We know that. There's nothing complicated about that. It's another year nearer glory. Whether it's another year because it's closer to what the Lord is coming, or whether it's another year when some of us will be taken home to glory through illness or whatever. We know that. It's another year that's going to be full of the signs of Christ's return. We know that. We've come so far. It's not going to stop. We shall increasingly see more signs of his coming. And one of the dangers is that we get so close, as we say, we can't see the wood for the trees. But we will continue to see Israel in the news. We will continue to see Christians that are persecuted. And I suggest we will continue to see natural disasters round about us. We will increasingly see governments that will increasingly take us even further and further away from God's word. In fact, more than that, we shall see an increase of people who will speak against God's word. It will be another year of persecution for his people throughout the world. It will be another year where the devil will be more active than ever. The scripture says he knows his time is short, and therefore he is more active. It will be another year where it will be more difficult for us to live under the authority of God's word, because of all that goes on round about us. The devil's not going to leave us alone. Our old flesh won't leave us alone. But my friends, we also know it will be another year where the mighty God will be with us. Now those things that we do know, I think are encouraging things, because we've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Not another age, but such a time as this. Now there's some application there, but let me apply just a little more. Let's use this verse to strengthen our faith. If the mighty God is coming with us, if he will walk and talk with us, if he will hold my hand, then really, what is there to be afraid of? What if someone says, well, we're going to come for you, we're going to take you to prison, and actually you'll be persecuted, actually we're going to take your life? Now, I don't like that idea. But that's not going to happen to me today, so I haven't got grace for that. But if it's going to happen to me tomorrow, I have confidence the Lord will give me grace for that, as he's giving grace to those today, in countries around the world, where they are suffering in that way. You see, it's easy for me to say to you, the fears and situations you will have in the coming year, yes, they will be difficult to deal with, but we have to really apply this passage to them and not be fearful of things that are yet to happen. There's some in the fellowship here and some that are not with us, of course. We all face advancing years, don't we? And an old age brings its problems. It brings its fears. Some of us here, you have families. And some in the families are not saved. And some of you with families, the education policies of our main political parties are not with you. Whether you're homeschooling or in the education system, they're all, as it were, creeping and getting closer to us to teach our children and to try and get us to teach our children things that are blasphemous and things that are against his holy law. Those are things we have to contend for. Others perhaps have employment issues. My friends, whatever your anxiety is, let this text sink into your hearts and minds that as and when the case arises, the Lord will be your helper. And the solution to that problem that you are trying to think of now, whatever the issue is, may not be the solution when you get there. But God will hold your hand and he will whisper in your ear, fear not, I will help you. And you don't need that help today. And you don't have that grace for today. But I think of the words in Isaiah, or it may be Chronicles, where Sennacherib was coming against Hezekiah. Hezekiah said words to the effect, be of good courage, the Lord is with us, greater is he that is with us than is with the world. And this is a little phrase we read, something to this effect. And the people rested. They rested in Hezekiah's words. Of course, they were the words of God. And that's what I would say to us this morning. Let's try and rest in these words this morning. Let's walk day by day knowing that he is right there and rest in his words. And when these issues and problems come, he will be there with us and he will give us grace for the day. And then finally this morning, we have to ask whether we know the God of heaven as our Saviour. You know, there was three headings I gave you. There's the declaration of his name. You know, the mighty God came to earth, didn't he, to purchase a people. His name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. And so can we say this morning how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? You know, if we can hear the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and realise he is the mighty God, and what he did. That's the declaration of his name. But go to him now. Do not linger, because the declaration of his name will come on judgment day. And that will be much louder. And what about the sound of his voice? The sound of his voice today comes to us by his Spirit through the word, that we should repent and believe the gospel. Again, let's not linger till we hear it in judgment that it is too late. And when we think about his hands, just see those hands that were wounded for thee, lest we fall into the hands of the living God, because the scripture says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. But rather run to those hands and repent and tell him that you will trust him and you will cast your soul upon him. So then, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. May the Lord so help us.